And brings us to item 11, reports. Trustee reports on meetings, seminars, and conferences. Are there any trustee reports anybody wishes to make at this time? Samson.
Louis, Dennis, Colin, and myself attended the Sackers UC Berkeley program 3 weeks ago. And it was a very intense 4-day program. Glad I went after all these years, but it was very informative. So depending how much time we have, I can go over all my notes over the 4 days, course by course. Or I can just say that it was well worth it. So I can see why there were repeat customers that have taken this course, and I wouldn't mind taking this again years down the road if I'm still here. So it was a very valuable experience, but without wasting too much time, I would say my key takeaways from this very academic program, it's basically providing the foundation for what we do for this role, but the takeaways being, be critical, ask why, be the gatekeepers, and learning how to say no. Or be comfortable with saying no to a lot of things. So.
Do you think for trustees that this conference it would be helpful for a newer trustee, or is it better to have some experience under your belt before you go?
Seems like we got a mix of both. And talking to some of the other trustees and some of the other systems, even those that have been on the boards for several years, they still took away some valuable lessons. And it was just a good venue for discussing various viewpoints that you don't always get at other conferences. And of course, obviously, this being more of an academic approach, it was a perfect place for that.
All right. Scott, the nice thing about, sorry to cut in.
No.
The nice thing about returning and doing repeat involvement or participation in this is that the more you learn as a trustee, the more questions pop into your head. I mean, the better you understand things, then you have a foundation to ask even more questions. And in this venue, you're able to do that. It's about 60, I think, participants, and ample opportunity to ask questions and so forth. And so, for both the new folks and the seasoned trustees, I have found this very valuable. I've been a number of times, and every time I've gone, I'm very happy that I've been there and participated.
All right, thank you, David. Louis.
Yeah, I've been a number of times too, and it's good for new trustees. There was a lot of newer trustees there, like 3 months on their board, a year on their board, because the first day covers fundamentals, and he goes over all the fundamentals to where back to basics, basically. So you get a grasp on everything again, and then they go through it. And the program changes every year, too. Like this year, they had an analyst about AI, which was a great speaker, that analyst about AI. And they keep you up to date on all the active or what's new stuff that's going on in the systems and within their areas of real estate or hedge funds and stuff like that. So it's really good.
Excellent. All right.
Yeah,
thank you.
My only complaint is that each of the topics, the class only went about an hour, hour and a half. So sometimes it did spur discussions, especially the last day on AI.
And that was.
It seemed like we were very tight on time. So the presenters had to rush through their presentations. So we really kind of didn't have an ample opportunity to kind of ask deep questions, or at least discussion kind of got, you know, into the topics, but then of course the instructors had to kind of wrangle it back on course.
Hopefully you put that in your feedback form.
Oh, I did. I did think he, like the AI guy, they should have gave him an hour and a half instead of an hour, where they gave other people, like the last section that they had was, what was it? It was a hands-on energetic AI workshop, which was, they could have gave the AI speaker more time than what we did at the last thing of the day. And it was just like, because he was great. He was a good speaker. And you might as well just forget college and become a plumber or an electrician, because once AI comes into full swing, that's going to be the jobs.
Can't change a tire, though.
Yeah. That's it. Can't change a pipe.
All right. Anybody else on conferences? I'll tell you my AI quip before we break for closed session. I was driving here this morning and listening to KCBS, as I'm prone to do. And there was a discussion on one of the segments about AI. And the short version of this is the use and abuse of AI in various applications, shopping being one of them, and how retailers are using AI to determine how long you stay in your cart, how quickly you make decisions, and based on that data, the retail industry wants to move to a pricing model that is price point specific based on the user, how badly you want an item, how badly you don't. And the one that I'm trying to remember was leading up to the one that surprised me the most. Oh, it was your call to Uber or Lyft. So many of you who have, you know, traveled and so on, and as we do, use one or more rideshare apps. So the AI capability within an app will tell Uber or Lyft, and I'm not picking on them, or Waymo, whoever it is, how low your cell phone battery is, how much time they think you might have, and price the service accordingly. Think about that. And so that's why at every conference, and I'm sure this came up at UC, every speaker will probably say you should never not have human intervention in the use of AI, because you have to have judgment involved. Human judgment is essential to the use. So anyway, when I heard the Uber Lyft monitoring your cell phone battery to determine your price, that one caught my attention.
Was a low battery a positive or a negative?
I would say from the user standpoint, it's a real negative, because you're short on time and you're not going to have a lot more time to be hailing rides. So the idea was you were going to pay a premium price. So, yeah, it's a little bit disturbing.
Charge your phone.
Yeah, I will say the other disturbing thing was that hands-on workshop on the last day. We were building
a model agent bot to do small tasks. And the day after the class, because we used an email, I started getting emails that says, oh, we see you're a fireman. And so it got all cute and tailored these emails around a fire theme and went deep into my public information, and kind of came around, threw it right back at me, and it was a little disturbing how intrusive it can get. But I guess all this information's out there.
You start talking about something to somebody, and then all of a sudden, you go to Facebook and stuff about it pops up.
Yeah, you'll get ads on what you were talking about, even though your phone doesn't listen to you. Yes. Anybody else? Trustee reports. All right. Staff reports. Christina.
So you may recall that I had mentioned by this meeting we would have different audio, and we don't. They started, you can see some of those green lights up there, and there's extra speakers going on, but a part was missing, so they had to order that. So hopefully next meeting you'll see more table space, because the microphones will be in the ceiling. And you won't have to push red buttons anymore.
Yes.
But you will always have a hot mic above you, so there's that to think of.
Hot mic alert.
And then something else that we've been working on is, you may recall there was an Assembly Bill 2474 that had some requirements around retirees returning to work. And one of those requirements was to have the participating employers submit reports annually to the retirement system, giving us a list of all those retirees that have come back to work. And the deadline that CICERA had created for our participating employers was August 1st. So this last Friday, our employers started submitting those reports, and we are now going through and reviewing them. The good news is we have not found very many that have exceeded the 960 hours. So our participating employers are definitely staying on top of those rules and making sure that they're in compliance. So that was good news. But we're still going through all of the reports at this time.
The employers are sending the hours the persons do.
They are, yeah. So we're getting every retiree that's come back. And we've also asked for any retirees that are coming back as independent contractors so that we can review the independent contractor status and see if it complies with what we would see an independent contractor as, and that they're not possibly a temporary employee instead of an independent contractor.
How many people are involved in the retirees returning to work? What's the count on that?
How many that we've gotten report of the retirees?
Right. Yes.
For all of our participating employers that have reported, we're around just over 200. So not too bad. And then the last thing is you should have seen a PAFR at your seat. Just that's for you to take home if you'd like. If you don't want to take it home, you can leave it in. We'll put it in the lobby, but that's the condensed version of the ACFR that was presented at our last June meeting.
Excellent.
And this is the same one that was mailed out recently?
It is. It was mailed to all of our members as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other staff reports? Karen? Anybody? No? No takers? All right. Well, at this time, we will adjourn to closed session and return as quickly as we can. Hard to give an estimate, but don't go too far.